Brothers and sisters in Christ, our text is the second lesson just read from 2 Peter 1. This is Advent. The season of Advent, the accents of Advent remind us to cast off the works of darkness and to put on the armor of light. They tell us not to make provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts, but to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. St. Peter is saying approximately the same thing in the penitential and evangelical summons of the text before us. The invitation comes to us to grow up. And I would like to dwell upon three aspects of this growth. First, to grow in stature. Second, to grow in faith. And third, to grow in knowledge. Life presupposes birth, and growth presupposes nature. We're to grow up. And what are we to grow up? St. Peter tells us we're to become partakers of his divine nature. That is a great and daring statement to make. Certainly everybody in Peter's audience understood what this meant. Everybody wanted to grow into the divine nature. Peter is saying that you can have it. In fact, by becoming a Christian, this is exactly what does happen. You do become a partaker in his divine nature. The Stoics had, many of them in Peter's audience, no doubt, the Stoics had a whole system of what they called prokope. They had a system of codes and disciplines by which you could become divine, that you would have the eternal, the rational logos growing within you and so forth. Peter says, become a Christian and you become a partaker, a sharer in this divine nature. You have fellowship with this divine nature. Clearly, Peter means nothing more, really, than what St. Paul meant, that by once you are justified, or you accept the justification which in the death of Christ was earned for the world, once you accept this, now you are no longer in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. Or this is what St. John said, that he gives to us authority to become the children of God. Yes, this is what does happen. In our baptism, we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we put on Christ, we put on his works. His works are now our works. His life is now our life. His death is our death. His resurrection is our resurrection. His sanctification is our sanctification. His wisdom is ours. And finally, his glory is ours and shall be ours in an ever-increasing measure. So this is what St. Peter is saying. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put him on by faith. Put him on by baptism. Grow in this. And this is, of course, what Peter speaks of under the beautiful expressions, of course, the beginning with that the beautiful genitive absolute and so forth. But he states it all in the indicative. But now he goes into the imperative when he speaks of grow in faith. And by your faith, he says, supply virtue. Again, an intranslatable word. Virtue, manliness, power, excellence, whatever all you have, all of this was incorporated. And by your virtue, by your arete, in other words, put on knowledge. And then by your knowledge, self-control and endurance, and then piety and brotherly kindness, and finally agape, love. He is making this as a command. This is what believers, what Christians are to grow up into. By their faith, they are to supply these. It's a climax, it's a ladder, a step ladder. There are seven rungs on it, and you climb higher and higher. It begins, the foundation, the ladder is standing on faith, but the highest rung is love. It's agape, and that's what we're to grow up into. Love. God is love. Love is God. Of all the definitions and descriptions and so forth of love, the mental powers and all of this that's involved, yet one point is oftentimes lacking. When love is an emotion which arises in me, a natural emotion which arises in me when I see something in someone else. When I see something, somebody says something, does something, acts a certain way, and that arouses love within me. But that's still human love. Divine love, this love is that which grows within my heart by itself. This is the love which God had toward us when he loved the world and he gave his only Son. This is the deliberative, this is the divine, this is the condescending, this is the self-sacrificing love. Herein is love that a man lay down his life for his friend. Love, as Paul Gerhardt put it, love caused thy incarnation. Love brought thee down to me. Thy thirst for my salvation procured my liberty. Oh, love, beyond all telling, that led thee to embrace. Oh, love excelling our lost and fallen race. This is the love, and this is the highest virtue that can be attained. It is supplied, it stands upon faith, and it produces, finally, this highest type of love. Love from within, which goes out, which expects nothing in return. Grow up also in knowledge. Some Christians, like some trees, are barren. They are blind. They are nearsighted. They're dead. While others are blooming, fragrant. They're very much alive. They're positive. They're productive. And what spells the difference? Saint Peter is suggesting in this text that the difference is that those who are dead are filled with a deep knowledge, but it is only a head knowledge. While those which are alive and productive are filled with a deep knowledge, but it is a heart knowledge. Again, we could rehearse all of this in the context of the world of Peter's day and the overtones of to the Hellenic and to the Judaic world are very evident and very obvious here. Certainly in that day, a great amount of discussion and problem ensued in connection with knowledge. They recognized, as we recognize, there is a difference between knowing and doing. One kind of knowledge leads to action, the other kind does not. And then when it involves knowledge of a person, you see how complicated it becomes. I can know something about the person, but then how do I know the person? And St. Peter is saying, you know when you do. You know the person when he has become a part of your very nature. And I'd like to suggest here that in Peter's mind, there was a description of what it meant to put on Christ, of what it meant to accept his righteousness, of what it meant to live his life, as we have just sung in the hymn. It is what Peter speaks of as a structured wholeness that we have in Christ. Now everything with Christ begins to fit. Now that ladder, with all of the propensities to go to the left and the right, all of it holds together. Now I can live in Christ. I can live with my God, knowing that he has accepted me in his beloved Son. Now I can live with my fellow man, knowing that I have the love toward him which God has shown to me in his beloved Son. Now I can live with myself and all of those tensions and all of those tangents which go off in this direction and that, the appetites, the passions, the hatreds, the animosities and so forth, which creep up in my heart. I can live with them knowing that I am living in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Now I can live in the world of nature, knowing that there is a perfect harmony which has been effected by God through the death of his Son. As his Son was up on the cross, shedding his drops of blood, falling also upon this earth, I know that even the entire earth, this entire planet, has been redeemed by the crucified. Yes, this is that perfect, integrated wholeness which we have in Christ. That's how we're to grow up, to be one man of God before God in Christ. Grow up then in stature, in faith, and in knowledge.